This morning, we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 1. For those of you who brought Bibles today, if you'd like to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1, we're going to be spending the time there this morning. We mentioned in the baby dedication the story of Hannah dedicating Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 1. We're going to be looking at that in further detail today. Before we begin, let's open them with a word of prayer. God, we ask you would bless this service today. Help us to enjoy studying from your word. Help us to learn something new as it applies to our lives today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, today's Mother's Day, isn't it? And as we said earlier, all of us have moms at least one point or another. We all had moms, right? Some of us, our moms are long gone. Some of us, our moms are still around. My mom is, she's about 6 hours away. Managed to call her this morning. Both me and my brother called her the exact same time, and she didn't answer either of us. I guess she panicked. But she did call me back, so that was nice of her. But it was, there were seven kids in my family, so she gets a lot of phone calls on days like this. But it was good, right? Mother's Day is kind of fun. But when you think about motherhood, for those of you who are moms, you know, I'm just a dad. I say just a dad. Did you know, okay, think about this for a minute. Did you know that Discover Card, they did a kind of an analysis on spending, that, let's see, 2 years ago, 2014, there was $3 billion more spent on Mother's Day than Father's Day? I'm getting screwed here. I am missing out on some stuff. I got to put bigger things on my list, I think. I don't know. Anyway. Apparently, it is just a dad, right? Moms are celebrated. Dads are, we get a steak. That's nice. It's good. But you know, yeah, you are dads. You know, right? You know. Anyway, but it is Mother's Day. And today we do come to celebrate moms today only. In your bulletin, you'll find an outline. If you want to take notes, you can. In this outline, there'll be one of those in your bulletin. It's a pretty simple outline there for you today. The premise of today, the central idea, the theme, if you will, being a mom is tough. Do I hear an amen? Amen. There we go. Being a great mom is even tougher. But God has lessons from his word that can take you from being an average mom to being a great mom. Being a mom is tough, isn't it? And I'm sure you've asked that question there. Motherhood, is it a blessing or is it a curse? Right? You have all had days where you wonder, is this a blessing or is it a curse? There are days, aren't there? Man, we've all had those. And on Mother's Day, sometimes we think of that even more than normal, I suppose. For some of us, Mother's Day is not a joyous experience at all. It's tough. Where our kids may have moved away, we don't get to see our children. Or sometimes our children, they don't even want to talk to us. You know, and so our Mother's Day, it just kind of reminds us of the absence of our children. For some of us, we may have lost a child, and Mother's Day reminds us of that loss. Mother's Day can be a tough day for some of us, and we're just reminded of how hard this whole idea of being a mom is. We have moments like that, don't we? We do. We have days where just this whole motherhood thing is just tough. And of course, sometimes you wonder, Mother's Day may make you think or realize that, you know, maybe I'm not as good a mom as what I wanted to be. I had dreams or expectations of being this great mom, and now for whatever reason, I don't feel like I'm a good mom. And Mother's Day just makes us think of that. And it is. It's hard, isn't it? You know, mothers, they oftentimes have, you know, as I was talking to Rachel and the other women that Rachel and I ministered to, you hear questions that they ask. Different stages of life that women go through in this process of being a mom. The first question they ask is, you know, should I become a mom? Should I become a mom, right? Eden made comment to us, she's 11, she said, I want to grow up, I want to get married, and I want to be a mom. You know, so this is the thing, you know, should I become a mom? This is a question that Eden has. It's a fair question, isn't it? And many of you who are sitting here today, you've thought that same thing. Should I become a mom? And then sometimes there's a stage you go through, why aren't I a mom yet? Right? Have you had those moments where you want to have a child and you can't? We have some dear friends of ours in Omaha that they've been trying for years. They've been unable to do that. And that's a tough question, isn't it? Why aren't I a mom? These are problems that we face, aren't they? Problems that all mothers face. And then I remember when we came home with our first child, you walk in the door, you set the baby seat down on the floor, and you look at each other, now what? Right? How in the world do I be a mom? We have those things. I remember the Baby Blues. How many of you guys like Baby Blue comics? You guys like those things, Baby Blues? I love those. I have many other comic books. One of their first comic strips that they ever created was that very question, where Daryl and Wanda walk in the door, and then now what? Right? We have those questions. How do I be a mom? And then, of course, that course segues into, why did I want to be a mom, right? Have we had those in the hospital room with your hands gently around your husband's neck? Why? Okay, we've had those times. And of course, your children, they're always perfect, right? And you never question them at all. They're angelic. But yeah, sometimes we ask, why in the world did I sign up for this? What was I thinking? Right? We have those moments, don't we? What in the world was I thinking? But it all boils down to this one question, really. Am I a good mom? That's a good question, isn't it? Am I a good mom? And on Mother's Day, some of us, we ask that. Am I really a good mom? Am I the kind of mom that my children deserve? Am I the kind of mom that can shape my children, that can help them be the type of children that be honoring to God, be pleasing to God? Am I that kind of mom? Am I a good mom? You know, these questions, they make us realize that we live in a fallen world, don't we? We do. We live in a world of sin. And our children, however perfect they may be, are not completely perfect, are they? And we are constantly reminded on a daily basis that we as moms, while we may be a good mom, we are not perfect moms, are we? And that's something we have to remember, that you can be a great mom and not be a perfect mom. These things is possible. You can be great and not be perfect because none of us are perfect. But God calls us to more than what we are. He calls us to live a holy life. He wants us to be great. And so we live in a world that, yes, it isn't great. It's a fallen world. But in spite of that, in spite of the problems that we face, and every mother faces problems, in spite of the problems that we can face, we can still be a great mom. Every mom does face problems, don't they? Every mom does. I remember this Facebook posting we saw one day on Facebook. Now I know why some animals eat their young, right? Yes, we've had those days. We have, haven't we? Let's be honest. Now we know. We know why some animals eat the young. We got my sister-in-law, Rachel's sister, we got her assigned once. She said, I don't know about you, but I've thought about running away from home way more as an adult than I ever did as a kid, right? We have those days, don't we? I just want to run away. Where can I hide to? We have a storm cellar in our house, in the parsonage up here. It's under the garage, and it's really, okay, it's a secret. I got to tell the secret. All right. It's really dark in there, okay? And our kids don't like the darkness. Well, my wife has figured out that it's because it's a storm shelter, it's all blocked off with concrete and things like that. You got to kind of do a little maze to get in there. Well, she can go in there with the lights off and hide. All right? And the kids will never look for her in there because the lights are off. Why would mom be in there, okay? And now they will. All right. So the secret's out. Rachel's Mother Day has just been ruined. I'm sorry, babes. But sometimes we just want to get away, don't we? Because motherhood, in fact, life is really fraught with problems, isn't it? It doesn't matter if you're a mom, if you're a dad, if you're single, if you're a kid. It doesn't matter. Life sometimes is tough, isn't it? Now, I told you this before, and it's true. Life stinks, then you die, and you stink some more. That's my brother's quote. Don't quote me on that one. But it's true. It's what he says. You know, sometimes it happens. Life stinks, and you die, and you stink some more. Sometimes it feels that way, doesn't it? When you look in the Bible, have you really looked at the Bible and tried to find out stories about moms? You ever read the stories of mothers in the Bible? Because when you sit and think about it, there aren't many good stories in the Bible of mothers. There aren't. Think about what it was like for Eve. Okay, now we think of Eve, and she was the one that was deceived by Satan. She took a bite of the fruit. She turned and gave it to her husband, and he also took a bite, right? That's the story we think of. But we forget about the fact that here's Eve, whose one son murdered the other son. Now, what's that like as a mother? That'd be kind of tough, wouldn't it? You've got Sarah, Abram's wife, who for years and years and years was barren, unable to have children. How hard would that be as a mom? For some of you guys, you can identify. And you know that is very, very difficult. Job's wife. Now, here's one we don't think about very much either, except for her telling her husband, curse God and die in Job chapter 2. But what happened in Job 1? She lost all of her sons, all of her daughters, all of their worldly possessions. Everything was wiped away in one day. Everything. Job's wife. Can you imagine losing all of your children in one day? All of your possessions in one day? Everything gone? When you look at it from that perspective, you really can't blame her in chapter 2 when she says, curse God and die, because she herself probably wanted to. As a mom, you have an attachment to your children, and when you lose a child, you know it hurts, doesn't it? There aren't many good stories in the Bible about moms. Think of Mary, the mother of Jesus, watching your son be crucified. How hard would that be as a mom? Bathsheba. Again, we think of Bathsheba, right? She's the one that had the affair with King David. But she lost a child, her firstborn child, because of the sins of another. And her husband, because of the sins of another. How tough would that be as a mom? Now, I hope none of you guys have faced those situations, but when you think about motherhood, we have story after story after story in the Bible that identify, that we can identify with, that teaches us that motherhood is tough, isn't it? And it is full of hurts, absolutely full of hurts. 1 Samuel chapter 1, we read the story of Hannah, who had her own hurts, her own problems. I want to begin in verse chapter 1. We're reading out of the English Standard Version today. 1 Samuel 1, verse 1. There was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim, of the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, the son of Jeraham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. He had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Penaniah. And Penaniah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man used to go up year by year from his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Penaniah his wife and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival used to provoke her grievously to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore Hannah wept and would not eat. And Elkanah her husband said to her, Hannah, why do you weep and why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? She had some problems, didn't she? Hannah had some problems. She had this situation completely out of her control. And that sometimes as moms, some of our problems is a situation that is out of our control, isn't it? She wanted to be a mom. And she could not be a mom. But completely out of her control. A desire that was a good desire, not a wrong desire. It wasn't a sinful desire, but it was completely out of her control. So here's Hannah in this tough situation. And then there's somebody reminding her of this situation that's completely out of her control, right? This thorn in her side, so to speak. How many of you had that one person that we call them holiness testers, right? They just kind of poke at you a little bit. And you think, dear God, how do I handle this person for one more day, right? We've had people like that. And there are days we're married to that person, isn't it, okay? It happens. Let's be real, right? It happens, okay? It does. She had a problem. She had this situation out of her control. She had this person, this other wife of her husband, who was there, close proximity, all the time, just poking at her, poking at her, poking at her, irritating her, the Bible says. That'd be tough, wouldn't it? She had the desire to be different. She wanted to be a mom. I imagine many of us here, there's some part of us that we wish was different. Maybe some part of us completely out of our control that we wish was different. Something in our life that we wish was different. Hannah had something that she wished was different. She had a desire that she wished was different. She had a husband who loved her, but let's face it, the guy didn't have a clue, did he? I mean, I love that part there when Hannah says, why do you weep? Or Elkanah says, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? Now, as a mom, you sit here and think, dude, get with it, buddy, right? Shoo, 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 slap, slap, slap. Wake up. This is a typical husband. He wants to help the situation. And of course, a guy, you know, we can identify with this. We as men, we think, dude, I'm all that and more. What do you need boys for? Right? I got this. And she's, poor Hannah. What do you do in a situation like that? I'm glad the Bible doesn't give us a response, or else I wouldn't be able to preach out of this, I'm sure. But it was, that would be tough, wouldn't it? You got a husband who wants to help, but he just doesn't get it. Now, he did love her. And that's what we have to remember, that just because your husband doesn't understand doesn't mean he doesn't love you. It's just because he's a guy. And so, if your husband doesn't understand you, congratulations, he's normal. All right? The Bible story here, he is normal. All right? So when you get frustrated, why don't you understand? He goes, 1 Samuel chapter 1, look, honey, I'm biblical. I'm biblical. I don't understand. Right? So it happens. So when you have days like that, just praise God, your husband is normal. Okay? Sometimes we don't get it, do we? So Hannah's got this problem out of her control, this desire to be different, this person irritating her, this husband that loves her that doesn't get it. Now, how many of us can identify with one of those problems today? Many of us can, can't we? We can. We can say, yeah, I got one of those, two of those, four of those. I got them all. Sometimes we have that problem, don't we? We're there. We can identify with that, can't we? We really can. So what did Hannah do? How do you go from being an average mom to being a great mom? Real briefly, we're gonna blow right through this real quickly. Backside of your bulletin, turn the page. There are these steps that Hannah took for facing these problems. Four steps that she took for facing those. 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning of verse 9. After they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, How long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered, No, my Lord. I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation. First thing she did was pray. When you're faced with one of these problems, if you want to go from being an average mom to a great mom, the first thing you do is you pray. You fall on your face before God and you pray. And I love Hannah's prayer. She's there. She's in front of Eli the priest, right? She's crying her eyes out, and it doesn't embarrass her at all. She is grieving and she is praying through it. When we have a problem in our life, the first thing we do is pray. Pray is the first thing. Reading on, beginning of verse 17. Then Eli answered, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him. And she said, Let your servant find favor in your eyes. And then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Had anything changed in her situation? No. Nothing had changed. And yet for Hannah, everything had changed. Why? Because she then trusted. So we pray, but then we trust. We believe that God can take care of this problem. That's exactly what Hannah did. She believed that God is going to take care of that problem. And she changed her countenance. She changed her demeanor. She changed everything. She didn't wait for the situation to change. She changed regardless of the situation. And for us as moms, sometimes that's hard. And for dads, that's hard, isn't it? When life happens, we don't want to change our countenance. We want things to change first. But that's not the example here. The example here was we trusted God and we lived as if it had already happened. She went away. Her countenance was no longer sad. In your life, when you face a problem, can your husband, can your kids say that's true of you? When situations come up, can they say that after you pray, your countenance is no longer sad? That's a great example to us, isn't it? Because sometimes we get a little bit of the humanity coming out from within us, don't we? And we sometimes do, well, we call it PMS, poor me syndrome, right? We all get it, don't we? Even guys get that one, poor me syndrome. And sometimes we pray and we trust God a little bit, but nothing really changes in our countenance, does it? And Hannah, everything changed. So she prayed. She trusted. And then listen to this. They rose early in the morning, worshiped before the Lord. Then they went back to the house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son. And she called his name Samuel, for she said, I have asked for him from the Lord. The man Elkanah and all his house went up to the offer to the Lord, the yearly sacrifice, and to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, As soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him, so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever. Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Do what seems best to you. Wait until you've weaned him, only may the Lord establish his word. So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, along with her three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. The child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, Oh, my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who is standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. What do we see Hannah doing here? She gave, didn't she? She gave her heart's desire back to God. She was willing to let go of this one thing she wanted more than anything else in the world. She was willing to let go of that. It was a very physical thing, a physical blessing that God had given her. And she said, God, I'm giving it all back to you. Sometimes in our lives, when we think about what it is that's impacting us, what's hurting us, some of the problems, We have those things because we aren't willing to commit those back to God. We're not willing to really let it go. Even as a blessing, we're not willing to let it go. You think of those, you know, the love of money is the root of all evil. Why? Because people aren't happy with enough. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 says, contentment is what you need for godliness. Contentment. Are we content with those things that we have? Are we contented? Many women and men today are not contented with what they have. They want something different. Whether it's more resources, whether it's a different way they look, different personality, different friends, different house, whatever it is. I don't care what it is. But many of us want things that are different. Hannah, she wanted so she could give back to God. Are we really willing to let go of the things in our life that we desire? Are we willing to let it go? Hannah prayed. Hannah trusted, and Hannah was willing to give it all back to God. She was willing to let it go. And sometimes that's hard, isn't it? Because our children will do things that just drive us nuts. And we have to sometimes, God, they are your child. I'm letting my child go back to you. Are we willing to do that? Chapter 2. Hannah prayed. She prays a very long prayer. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read it all. But in this prayer, she mentions a few things. She mentions that God is a God of holiness. He is a holy God. He provides our salvation. There is none like God. He breaks the mighty. He gives strength to the weak. He gives children to the barren. He makes poor and he makes rich. God is the God who will judge the earth. God is God. This great prayer of wonderful theology that she did, that she prayed right there in the temple the day that she left her son Samuel there. She praised God. And the one time in her life when she had to let go of a dream, when she had to let go of something she'd always wanted, she let go of that with a cheerful heart, with thankfulness in her heart, praising God and doing just this wonderful prayer in the scriptures. When was the last time you were praising God for having to let go of something? When was the last time you praised God for Him for letting go of the answer to your prayer? For giving back? When was the last time you praised God in a time like that in your life? A time when emotionally it had to be very, very difficult, and she still praised God. That's what it takes to go from a good mom to a great mom. Praising God in the middle of the hard times. Seeing the blessings in the middle of the hard times. Are you able to count your blessings in the hard times? We think of friends around us and people that we know. If there's somebody that you know that in the middle of a hard time, they still can praise God for something, they can see the silver lining, that's the type of person that we want to be like when we're honest with ourselves, isn't it? We want to be like that person that doesn't matter what's going on in their lives, they're the type of person that's cheerful. They're fun to be around, and they always see the silver lining because they trust in God. Are we willing to go from being average Christians to being a great Christian? Will we praise God in spite of these things in our life? And I don't know how God's going to respond to that in your life, but I know how He responded to that in Hannah's life. Chapter 2, verse 18, Samuel was ministering before the Lord. A boy clothed with linen ephod, and his mother used to make for him a little robe and take it to him each year when she went up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Then Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, "May the Lord give you children by this woman for the petition she asked of the Lord." So then they would return to their home. And indeed, the Lord visited Hannah, and she conceived and bore 3 sons and 2 daughters, and the boy Samuel grew in the presence of the Lord. She prayed. She trusted. She gave back to God. She praised God, and God blessed her. Do you want to be a mom? Do you want to be a person that God blesses? Pray. Trust that God will do what God sees best for you. Trust God. Be willing to let go of things. Be willing to give back to God. And praise God for who He is, regardless of the situation. That's what you need to go from being good to being great. God, we thank you for the story of Hannah today. Lord, it's a story that many of us can identify with. We have some of those same problems. This desire to be different than we are. This problem that's completely out of our control. Maybe this person that's just a constant irritant to us. The spouse who doesn't understand us. These problems that Hannah has and some of our own, Lord. But what a great story, Father. We read this true account of the story of Hannah. How she prayed, she trusted, she gave. She praised you. And God, you in turn blessed her. God, may we apply these things to our lives, Lord. May we, today on this Mother's Day, on this May 8, in 2016, Lord, may we decide and choose to be like Hannah. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.